I hope you grabbed a handout and will follow along. I've got some blanks on there for you. It looks like a lot. They'll be easy to fill in as we go. I grew up in a time, and many of you did as well, social media, pre-video games. Basically, what I'm trying to say is we used to play outside all the time as kids. Do y'all remember that? In fact, we would ride our bikes through neighborhoods. We would play things like tag. When I was a kid, my goal was how quickly can I get my chores done and get out of this house? I want to go play. And so that was the object. And we had a big neighborhood with lots of kids. And tag was one of those things that was a lot of fun. We would get out and we would play tag and everybody would take turns being it. Or if you got tagged, you would be it. But if you'll remember in the game of tag or freeze tag, whatever it was, generally there was always a place reserved as base. Ours was generally a tree. And as long as you were on the tree, you couldn't be tagged. It gave you a chance to rest. It gave you a chance to just kind of say, hey, I'm off limits at this time. But there would be some point you'd have to get off base for one reason or another. But you remember base and how secure you were when you finally got there. And it's like, I'm on base. They can't get me anymore. It was a refuge, if you want to put it that way. It was a place of safety. Cellars, basements, storm shelters are kind of like those places of refuge or safety. Unlike tag, when we have a storm or something blowing through and they blow those sirens, if you've lived in West Texas long, you know, hey, we got to find a place of safety. And many of you have spent time in places like these, in cellars where you go, we made it, we're there. Whew, take a deep breath. We're in a safe place now. I remember many times in our home in Childress, we didn't have a cellar, our neighbors did, and we would run across to their house and go down to their cellar, and they always were welcoming and would invite us in, but we always knew when we got there, okay, we're good now. We are safe. Now, biblically speaking, in the book of Joshua, when you get to Joshua chapter 20, God is going to set up a base or a cellar, or we're going to call it a refuge for people who have done something wrong to find some safety. And this being a new country, here's Joshua. We've studied this for the past 2 months. They have conquered Canaan land for the most part. And now they've come to the point where one tribe has said, we'll take this part. One tribe has said, we'll take this part. One tribe has said, we'll take this part. So they've got this new land. And God is going to remind them something that he had told Moses back in Numbers chapter 20. He's going to say, I need you to set up six cities of refuge. I don't know if you've ever heard that word before or not, but these are really interesting cities. It shows a lot of grace on God's part. But these cities of refuge are going to be set up so that if you accidentally commit a crime, I know you're going, how do you accidentally commit a crime, right? Let's say you're building a wall and someone walks below and one of those bricks falls off and kills them. You have accidentally killed someone. And you can go live in the city of refuge for safety. Now, we're going to read the text, and we'll explain it a little bit more. But read with me the first five verses of chapter 20, and let's look at how God set up these safe places, these cities of refuge. It says, the Lord said to Joshua, tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed through Moses, so that anyone who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee there and find protection from the Avenger of Blood. Now let's stop there because that's kind of a cool name, the Avenger of Blood. You're going, what is that? So if you're working on a brick wall on your house and somebody walks underneath you and you kill that person on accident, or maybe an axe head flies off and you're chopping down a tree and that axe head flies off and kills someone, you've killed someone accidentally, unintentionally, and you're going to have the ability to go to the city of refuge, but a family member from the family of the person that you killed has a right to kill you. They are the Avenger of Blood. This is the old days, okay? They are the Avenger of Blood. And because you have taken someone in their family's life, they can take your life as well. So keep reading, all right? Let's see how this happens. So it says, So anyone, verse 2-3, anyone who kills a person accidentally or unintentionally may flee to find protection from the avenger of blood. When they flee to one of these cities, they are to stand in the entrance of the city gate and state their case before the elders of the city. Then the elders are to admit the fugitive into the city and provide a place to them to live among them. If the avenger of blood comes in pursuit, the elders must not surrender the fugitive because the fugitive killed their neighbor unintentionally and without malice or forethought. So, here's what we've got. This is kind of, I love this chapter, and I wasn't going to skip it when it came time to study in the book of Joshua. There's a new nation, and there's got to be some new rules because they lived in a time where, you know, you've heard an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But they lived in a time that was a little beyond. They lived in a time, hey, if you take my eye, I'll take two of yours. You break our arm, we're going to break both of your arms. It was always, it wasn't an equal match for what have you done. It was, I'm going to take this a little further than what it should be taught. And here comes God, and God says, we need to do better. We need to do better. We need to set up a place where if someone accidentally kills someone, there is a place for them to go to live safely. And those were the cities of refuge. If it wasn't an accident, if it wasn't premeditated, even in that situation, a family member could come and take your life. Those cities of refuge were a lot like base, or like in the cellar, you're safe. But here's some things that you need to know about the cities of refuge, all right? That we'll get to as we go, and we'll talk a little bit about Jesus. The cities of refuge were for the guilty, all right? Here's all your blanks on one slide. There you go. So the cities of refuge, they were for guilty. That makes sense. They were for the people. Even though it was unintentional, they killed someone, and you needed to get to a city of refuge and stay there because as long as you were there, the avenger of blood could not get you. The cities of refuge were for everyone. I love the fact that God says this is not just for the Israelites, but for the Gentiles. Anybody who has accidentally killed someone can come to one of these cities and find safety. It wasn't just for a select few. It wasn't for just men. It wasn't just for Jews. It wasn't just for people in position. Anybody could come here. The third thing that you got to catch up here, it was to be entered without delay. And this is a really big point. So if you're working on your house and a brick falls off and kills somebody below, you can't go, you know, give me some time to pack my bags and say goodbye to my family. And here in a year or so, I'll leave and head to one of the cities of refuge. It was one of those deals to where you better get there before the avenger of blood catches you. Because if he catches you before you're there, you're toast. Does that make sense? So it wasn't one of these things where you just sit back and go, yeah, I know I've killed someone and I need to get there, but I've got a lot on my list right now that I've got to get done. And when you got to the city, you would stand at the city gate, you would explain what happened, and if the elders of the cities of refuge said, hey, he didn't do this on purpose, they would say, come on in. And you had to stay there. It was not a, you know, hey, it's been a couple of years, maybe the family has forgot, you know, hey, this is long past, I think I'll leave. You are safe only as long as you stayed in the city of refuge. If you left, if you even walked out a mile to go get some whatever it was to see somebody and the avenger of blood caught you, he could by right take your life in return for the life that you took. The cities of refuge were never locked. Another one of God's rules. You couldn't show up and go, hey, I'd like in. And they say, hey, we're on vacation this week. You know, this is Christmas break. You know, it was none of that. They were always available. And I love that. I think that's important. You better hope when you show up, they can't say, hey, sorry, we're closed for the weekend. The fifth thing you find up there is the cities of refuge were the only hope for guilty people. So, I mean, the only hope. There was no other option other than the city of refuge. You couldn't, just think for a second. Could you imagine accidentally killing someone and then running for your life to one of these places, being let in, taking a deep breath, going, I made it. You'd be thankful for a city of refuge. So we look at all these things and we go, all right, so what does that have to do with me? What does a city of refuge have anything to do with me? I'm glad you ask. Because just like the people in the story here, you and I are guilty of something. And just like the people in the story, you and I need a place of refuge and we really need to run. You see, in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." It also says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one here above the age of accountability that knows right from wrong, that has not at some time in their life done something that has caused them to sin and that has therefore made you guilty. Does that make sense? You have broken God's law and there's not anything you can do to fix it. In a sense of you yourself. You can't come along and go, well, I know I did that. So I tell you what, from here on out, I won't ever do that again. It doesn't change the fact that you broke a law and that's got to be fixed. You can't come along and go, I will be nice and I'll do a whole bunch of good things from here on out. That doesn't matter. You sinned and broken a law and the wages of sin are death. So the great thing is, and the good news about all of this is that Jesus is my refuge and your refuge. He is our city of refuge. He's the place that we run to for base or for safety. He's the one that is there. And I absolutely love that because you and I are guilty. We've broken the law. And you may go, hey, I'm not that bad. I've met lots of people in this world that go, you know, I'm a good old guy. I help my neighbor out. And, you know, if somebody needs something, I'll kick a little bit in here and there. I'm not a bad guy. You know, I'm a pretty good old guy. But if you've broke a law and you've never run to Jesus, you are risking your life. That's what we need to understand. And sometimes we think to ourselves, I've never done any bad sins. Can I just tell you that there is no such thing in God's eyes as a little sin and a big sin. In God's eyes, they're all big sins. There's no, well, that's a white lie. God has never used the term white lie. He just calls it lying and dishonesty, and it's a sin. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever cheated? Have you ever complained about anything? Did you know Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, do everything without complaining or grumbling? I don't like that verse. I just grumbled, didn't I? I remember one time when I was doing something, my mom said, hey, Bible says you can't gripe about that. And I said, it does not. And I looked it up and it did. And I thought, oh. But you know what? Thankfully, I have a refuge to run to. When I've made a mistake. Have we ever gossiped? Said something that we shouldn't? There's no minor sins. We are all guilty and we need Jesus. Second thing about Jesus that I like is he's available to everyone. Everybody. Not just a select few. Not just a Jew, but Jew and Gentile. Get this. Not just unintentional, but intentional. You know, in the cities of refuge, it was only the people who unintentionally killed someone. With Jesus, it doesn't matter what you do. If you're willing to run to him, he takes you. And I love that. He is available to everyone. He doesn't come along and go, hey, I like him because this is how he looks, or this is how she's smart, or this is how he votes, or this is how everyone is. The Bible says he calls us through the gospel, through this right here. Third thing I want you to catch is just like in the city of refuge, you got to come without delay. There's no, hey, you know, one of these days, sometime in the future, I am going to do that. And yes, I've met some people and been a part of people's life who at the end of their life made a decision for Christ. And I'm so thankful that they did. But every one of them have said, I don't know why I didn't do this sooner. I've also known some people in their life that probably thought one of these days I'll get right with the Lord and their someday never came because their someday ended in a car wreck or a heart attack or something that they weren't expecting. So it's one of those things you don't delay, you don't mess around with. Too many to think one of these days I'll give my life to Jesus and here's Satan, like it or not, that loves it when you say someday. Because the longer you say someday, he goes, ah, still got him another day. As long as you're not running to the city of refuge, to Jesus, he says, they're still on my team for one more day. I'm good with that. It's urgency is what I want you to catch here. It's the fact that you need to run. Can you imagine in the backyard I like mowing and working out in my yard. And can you imagine me in the backyard working and mowing my grass and getting a message that one of my grandkids have fallen from a tree and are hurt? Can you imagine me going, well, you know, I need about 20 more minutes to finish this yard? We would never do that. We would drop what we were doing, leave the mower where it is, and leave immediately to go, what can I do to help? That's called without delay. That's called urgency, and that is something that we, when it comes to coming to Jesus and running to Jesus, when you realize the avenger of blood is, you're risking your life not being in Jesus, you want to do that without delay. I had a friend one time that I baptized, gave his life to Christ, confessed Jesus as Lord, said, I want to give my life to Christ, and was baptized. It was during Christmas break. During one of those times where it was real quiet and real cold, and I went up to the building to get things ready for him to be baptized because he realized, today, I can't wait any longer. Not Sunday, not Monday, right now. We get up to the building, and sometime in the last couple of weeks, the hot water heater had tripped the breaker on it, and the water in the baptistry was ice cold. And when I say ice cold, we had not had the heater on in the auditorium. It was Christmas break. And I mean, it had to be 40 degrees in there. I had on waders, little rubber things that you put on, and I was shaking because it was so cold. And I said, Forrest, if you want, we can give this time to heat up tonight and we can do this in the morning. I'll never forget what he said. He said, no way. He said, I'm here. I realize I need to do it now, and I am not waiting. I worried. I thought, I'm going to baptize him and his heart's going to stop under this cold water right here. And he said, if it does, I'm ready to go. But you know, he came up out of there. He'll never forget. I'll never forget that day and how cold it was. But here was a guy who said, without delay, I realized the urgency of getting to my city of refuge, which is Jesus. Look at the fourth thing down here. The doors are never locked. Almost. I didn't put that word out there, but I want to talk about that. That means you can come to Jesus anytime. Anytime you want to come to Jesus. That's a good thing. Just like the city of refuge, you're not going to come to Jesus and Jesus go, sorry, I'm out of town, or I'm on break, or this is a bad time. But I also want you to understand that when I say almost, that there will come a time when that time will be over. Whether it's at death or whether that's it when he returns, there'll come a time when that time, that opportunity will end. Much like Noah when he preached for 120 years as he's building the ark, and the day finally came. Anybody who wanted to come get in could, but the day finally came when they shut the door. God closed the door, and it was as if it's done. Nobody else gets on. So again, it goes back to don't delay. There's some urgency there in that. The next thing to catch is you must stay in Jesus. As long as you're there, you're good. If you go outside, you can die. If you fiddle around or mess around and you get outside of Jesus, meaning, oh yes, I believe there is some security in Jesus. I'm not a once saved, always saved guy. I believe that you can walk out of the hand of God, but I also believe that that's, if you want to be in the hand of Jesus, there's some security in that, and I love that. But it's your choice. Meaning there are people who have come to know Jesus and have stepped out of that city of refuge for one reason or another. And the goal is, hey, you got to get back. You got to figure out, what do I need to do to get back to where I am? Last thing you got to catch is, he is your only hope. He is your only hope. There's no other way. Being good outside of Jesus won't help. Being kind outside of Jesus won't help. Going to church outside of Jesus won't help. Only Jesus. Can I share two more verses with you and we'll close? I love Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Catch that, run? And then in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrew writer's talking about Jesus as the city of refuge. Check this out. Therefore, we who have fled to him, that's what you and I have done if we've given our life to Christ, for our refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. You got to be in Jesus. They say sometimes that nature can be brutal. If you've ever watched the Animal Planet show, you've probably seen the scene of the cheetah that's hunting gazelles. I honestly don't like shows like that because I think they should all be kind to one another and not eat each other. And that just really bothers me. So if I see this set up when I'm flipping channels, I'm like, I don't want to watch this. But I usually find myself standing in the living room going, run, gazelle, run. You know, and they do a really good job. They'll eat and then they look up every now and then. And you're like, if you're watching it, you're like, the cheetah is right there. Look, pay attention. And it's always the little one, isn't it? And it always like, no, not the little one. And the cheetah like creeps up and creeps up and creeps up. And I'm usually, by this time, I'm yelling at the TV, run! This is literally for him a matter of life and death. Does that make sense? It is not a, well, you know, I'll run now or I'll eat now and I'll run. Soon as the little gazelle realizes, hey, I'm in deep trouble, he runs for his life. Here's the point that I want you to catch. If you're outside of Jesus, if you're outside the city of refuge today, which is Jesus, all I can say is you better run for your life. Don't delay. You run to Jesus. You confess him as Lord. You give him your life. You be baptized and you live for him. And if you've done that and made that step and for some reason you've stepped outside of Jesus somewhere, all I can say is run. Run for your life. Like your life depends on it, because it does. And you get back to Jesus. And once you're there, stay. It's the best place in the world. You know, we've talked about the city of refuge being a place of protection and a place of salvation. But you know what else it is? It's a place of rest. It's a place of peace. You go, how is that? Man, I go to bed at night feeling really, really good. Not having to worry about some cheetah that's going to eat me in this world. I don't have to worry about Satan or the Avenger of Blood out to get me, because as long as you're in Jesus, I'm not worried about what happens next. He's got this. I can take a deep breath and not go, man, if I die tonight, what's going to happen? If I die tonight, I know what's going to happen, because I'm in the city of refuge. I am in Jesus' hand. This is a good old gospel sermon that you find in the book of Joshua. And you can't pass up a story like this and God's graciousness to say, hey, there needs to be some rules for how we handle things and a place of safety for those people who accidentally kill someone. And I love the fact that years later that God goes, my people, Christian people, need a place of refuge, and that place is Jesus. And you can run to him. And once you're there, you need to stay. We're going to offer an invitation at this time during this song. And if you have a need that we can help you with, would you come as we stand and sing?